I'd like now to welcome, joining us by telephone, Curtis Elliott. He's a filmmaker whose film Haircut opens at the Santa Fe Film Center this weekend. And this is a film, it's a documentary that's won many prizes for Best Documentary, Director's Award, Best Social Documentary. Welcome, Curtis Elliott, to the Radio Cafe.
Yes, hi, Mary. Thank you.
It's great to have you here. Now, this documentary is unlike anything I've ever seen in my life. It's a film that you made about 6 years ago. You and a couple of other friends got together to help a friend of yours break his addiction to heroin by taking him to a cabin on a mountain in Tennessee where he could detox and not have access to drugs, and you documented the whole thing. How did this come about, both the helping and the documentation?
Well, the helping came about because just prior to us leaving to go to Tennessee to film this, Bryant, who is the subject, his name is Bryant Johnson. He has a nickname of Haircut, so thus the name of the documentary is Haircut. But Bryant had a daughter whose mom had died, and Bryant had been addicted to heroin for more than 15 years, and I knew a whole lot about his addiction because not only was he a very good friend of mine, my barber, he also at one time was an employee of mine. I owned a barber salon. So I had been on talking to him for years, trying to get him to, try to break his addiction. And I told him that I wanted to document this. So with the death of his daughter's mom, he decided he needed to get himself clean in order to gain custody of his minor child. So that was what prompted him to leave at that point in order to, go to get himself clean. The documenting part was, it was just a story that I wanted to tell, me being a parent, growing up in an inner city and witnessing so many people become addicted to heroin. I just knew that if young people had the information about heroin addiction before they tried it, then they might not. And I, as a person, an African-American man growing up in the inner cities, I just thought that a lot of the drug prevention that I was aware of was very, very ineffective, and that young people really, it took more than your brain on drugs in order to get the point across that drug addiction and drug abuse is a tough thing. So I knew that witnessing a real-life cold turkey heroin withdrawal would be a very, very powerful and just a very powerful statement. So therefore, I decided to document the whole trip and film him and show, the horrors and the ills of heroin addiction.
Now, did you feel or did you think that he was ready to break his addiction? I mean, was he telling you, I'm finally ready, I want to do this? Was it, do you feel like it was wishful thinking on your part and your friend's part partly?
Well, it was definitely wishful thinking, and he did make us feel like it was that he was ready to break his addiction. I mean, He left on this trip, and you got to understand that this is a 10-hour trip. He voluntarily got in the car. He voluntarily, brought along his things that he would need for the week. And so he made this trip totally voluntarily. So by doing so, that showed his commitment to it. But I don't know if he or I or any of us were really prepared or really had just the right amount of information in order to make it, just through that week. So I thought he was ready, and we were all willing to help him to try and help him get past everything. So I kind of think he was, but I really thought he was.
It's such, and we don't want to tell people how the film comes out because I was watching it yesterday just completely gripped by this and not knowing whether this guy was going to come through and how he was going to come through. But one thing for sure is that, no matter how many TV shows you've seen about cold turkey heroin withdrawal, you have no idea, unless you're a medical professional, what you're getting yourself into.
Right. And that's the whole story in it. I mean, I heard so many stories and just so many stories from the heroin addicts that I came into daily contact with. I can think of a story that was told to me by my cousin and another close family friend, and they were both caught shoplifting here in, like, St. Louis. They were caught shoplifting at one of the malls, and they were both addicted to heroin while they were committing this crime. And when they got arrested and they got shipped to the St. Louis County Jail, they told me about how they both, these are two grown adult men, laid in the same bed together, just the St. Louis County bunk bed together, head to foot, you know, vomiting and throwing up on each other. And he said that that's just how it is. And so by me hearing that and hearing all these stories, I just knew that if I documented it, I would be able to convince young people, you know, not to make that that mistake. So that's really one of my major goals in this, because I just witnessed how so many of these young men who grew up with me, who got addicted to heroin, they just never got off.
One of the subtexts of this film, which it comes up in the film, but there's a lot more to it that isn't expressed in the film, is the lack of treatment options for people who do want to get off heroin.
Right. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not saying this to insult the treatment professionals out here. You know, you all have a tough job, but I really think just the current design and the way that treatment works now is very, very ineffective. And I don't think that there's enough invested in prevention. I mean, the slogan is, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And I truly believe that. And it's a lot tougher to cure heroin addiction and opiate addiction than it is to prevent it. And I will say now, there are a lot of options available for opiate addicts. There are new drugs, there are new treatment protocols that are available now, but it's just not widely available, and just the follow-up and the treatment is not available. And in the case of Haircut, I mean, we had no viable option to get him real treatment. You know, once he was off the drug, there was not a lot available. Unless you're rich and unless you've got, you know, great health insurance, I mean, you know, you're left to your own devices. And I will admit this, that I am impressed by, I can only think of, and this is probably, I mean, and this is literally, this is the truth. This is literally of probably the 100 or so people that I know that were heroin addicts around me. I can only say that I know of 4 people who broke free, and one of the 4 is suspect.
Right. And I mean, and that's the statistic that comes up in your films. 99% of heroin addicts relapse, even when they do go through this horrifying process that you yourself in the film compared to an exorcism.
Oh, definitely. And that is definitely what it was. That is definitely, I mean, we were exercising that drug out of him, and that's it. And I mean, and it wasn't an easy thing. It wasn't a pleasant thing. It wasn't fun to watch, but it was truly the truth, and it was the truth. It was just the truth. And so is the statistic that says that 99% of the people who get addicted to heroin and go through treatment relapse. And that's a fact. And it is, I think it is one of those things that is just so powerful that, you know, it is more powerful than, in a lot of ways, the human spirit. And it's just a tough thing to break. And so, once again, I believe in prevention. One of the things that was very, very, one of the reasons why I had to make this documentary, because nobody else, I believe, would have told that story. And I can think of a particular day that my son, who is right now 22 years old, he and Bryant was our barber. I mean, he cut our hair once a week for, I mean, years, for probably 15 years. I mean, 15 years straight, he was our barber once a week. And at this point, Bryant was cutting hair at his out of his house, which he did that for a great number of years. And my son and I went to Bryant's house to get our hair cut this Saturday evening. And we got there. There were a lot of Bryant's friends there, and they were all using drugs. And it was just a really bad scene, not a good scene to take my son. And I can recall trying to explain to my son, you know, yeah, that smiling guy in there who is so social to us, you know, has a serious problem. And I could just see the words going in my son's ear and out the other one. And I knew that just with all of the knowledge that I had of drug addiction and drug abuse and just so much of it that was around us, my own child was not convinced that I was not able, in my mind, I didn't feel like I had reached out enough and convinced him that drug addiction was a really bad thing. So I thought about that, and I was like, how could I show this kid? What would I use to really show him what this is all about? And that was one of the motivating factors of this documentary. And I just said that, man, I'm a parent. I got this son that I've got so much of my life invested into him. I mean, just, you know, just everything in my, for more than 20 years, I mean, a great bit of my resources have been tied up into raising this boy. You know, I can't chance him to losing him to a drug. I've got to do whatever I can in order to convince him and give him the information he needs to make a good decision. And that was one of my motivating factors for making this documentary, for the love of my own child. And then the fact that there are parents out there that don't have the drug knowledge or the experience that I have. What are they left to do? And then there's this other group of children who parents are like in the inner cities, who are just absent, who are on drugs. You know, their kids are left in a hell of a predicament. So I just needed something to convince these kids, and convincing young inner city African American kids not to use drugs is not an easy thing. Because everything in their society, everything that is around them, you know, points towards drugs. And that is so highlighted in the documentary, how we talk about that drugs were just available everywhere. And one of the things that I really learned about the drug culture is there were just so many middle-class people. I mean, and these were of all races and nationalities. And I mean middle-class and upper-class people, rich people, who came into our neighborhoods to buy drugs all the time. I mean, and I watched these people lose their businesses and lose their homes and some of them even lose their lives. And these were people who prosperity was, I mean, they were very prosperous individuals.
We're talking to Curtis Elliott about his film Haircut, which opens this weekend at the Santa Fe Film Center. I have to say, anybody who does see this film is going to think twice or 100 times before ever getting involved with heroin or any other super addictive drug. Have you shown it, and what has been the reaction of audiences, particularly of young people who are vulnerable to that kind of addiction?
Man, I got to tell you that, you know, the film reaches my audience, and it touches them. And I showed this documentary at it was a Father's Day program. This was several years ago, and it was all young people that were wards of the state that were in some way, they were in foster care or in a foster home of some type. And it was at the University of Missouri in St. Louis, and man, those kids, how they lined up to shake my hand and hug me and tell me thanks. I mean, it was the reason that I made the documentary. It really was, because those kids don't have Curtis Elliott as a parent. They don't have the caretakers that my children have. They're basically fending for themselves, and to deliver that message to these young people and how they lined up and said, you know, I'll never do that drug again, and just how they shook my hand and thanked me, and just in so many different other venues that I've shown this documentary, all the way from Toronto, Canada, to the Museum of Modern Art in New York City, and how so many former addicts have come and saw this documentary, or family members of current addicts have come and seen the documentary, and they have said, this was totally enlightening. Now I understand why my loved one made the decisions and did the things that they did, because opiate addiction, once it's addiction,